second line. Romans 15:4, that the things that have been written aforetime, okay, so before his writing, the things that have been written aforetime are for our learning, comfort, and patience. And so we're going to read the record of Asa that was written aforetime. And hopefully we can get some learning out of it, some comfort, and also some patience. So in this part of the Bible, you've got six books in a row that deals with kings and kingdoms. And so that's the main focus of the Bible as a whole. The Old Testament, you see how God deals with nations. In the New Testament, you see how God deals more so with individuals. And God records this guy named Asa, what he did in his when he was a king for 41 years. I would dare say that Asa is a good name for a king, because a king or president has to sign a lot of documents. And so can you imagine Nebuchadnezzar, or he could get somebody to forge documents like Joe Biden's doing. Asa, you know, he could change it up, because I'm going to spell it backwards, Asa. Forward Asa, but it's kind of handy to have that. So this guy named Asa, he's mentioned in 1 Kings 15. This would be the narrative. 1st and 2nd Chronicles would be what are known as the official public records under the Old Testament. So we follow that custom. A lot of times when a public official is even on a telephone, it's being recorded. Okay, and then you have public records. And so 1st and 2nd Chronicles is the public records for Judah. God did not choose to put the chronicles of the kings of Israel in the Bible. He put Judah in the Bible, and it's probably most likely because of the connection with the Lord Jesus. Okay, and that's why he chose that. And so when you see some discrepancies between the kings and the chronicles, it might be, I'm not saying it's a hardcore fact, but it might be because God records these chronicles as man records them. And man doesn't keep perfect public records. And so God recorded the lie that Satan tempted Jesus with. He recorded as he stated it, so it's in there. And of course, the scholars always go to these places to try to find, you know, oh, the Bible's contradictory and all that stuff. That's the place they go. But they fail to consider or give God the benefit of the doubt. In 1 Kings 15, if we drop down to verse 9, it says, "And in the 20th year of Jeroboam, king of Israel, reigned Asa over Judah." So the kingdoms have been split now for 20 years. And Asa is going to reign over Judah. And of course, it's including Benjamin. "And 41 years reigned he in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Maacah, and the daughter of Absalom." And then it says, this one statement, "Asa did that which is right in the eyes of the Lord as David his father." So a few lessons we can get out of this is, one is that God presents an overview of the life of Asa. Okay, this is a complete overview, and this is how God views it. Is that too loud? Is it okay? Seems kind of loud. Can you turn it down a little bit, John? Thank you. He looks at the entire life of Asa. Now, in this record, we're going to find out where Asa messed up. Okay, but he's looking at the whole overview. Look at the overview of David's life in chapter 15, verse 5. And David did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, and turned not aside from anything that he commanded him all the days of his life, save only in the matter of Uriah the Hittite. But don't you read other places where David messed up? Like the census, you know, and, you know, the thing with Absalom. There were other things, but as far as God is concerned, God looks at the entire picture. And he said, we'll just put that one under grace there. We'll put that under grace. We'll put that under grace. Save only in a matter of Uriah. Now, of course, that could be because of the Old Testament doctrine on murder and adultery. But still the idea, God looks at the big picture. You see, man often discredits a person for one or two wrongs in their life. But God doesn't. Children often reject their parents because of one or two disagreements. Friendships often are discontinued because of one or two offenses in life. I've seen people leave a church for one or two disagreements, and if they made a drama out of it, they go to a church, they automatically have four or five disagreements, but they can't go back to the other one because they made a big drama out of it. You know, the Lord God is not that way. The Lord God doesn't wait for you and I to get all our I's dotted and all our T's crossed and all to be just perfectly sound in our doctrine. He waits patiently for people to grow in knowledge and wisdom. And God is willing to befriend the wounded and the unworthy. That's the thing about God. Now, he will record the wrongs of an individual in the Bible and the consequences, but his overview of Asa remains the same. You see, now, you and I, we can kick ourselves for our mistakes or our mess-ups in the past, but guess what? We have a God that will not. If we've taken care of it. Now, people might bring up the offense, but if it's confessed, guess who's not going to bring it up? That's the mercy of God. Rahab will not have to bear the title of the harlot in eternity. Now, it's recorded in the scriptures, Rahab the harlot, New Testament, Old Testament. But throughout eternity, when that's brought up, she's going to simply say, yep, that's what I was, but God in his mercy. And he's going to brag about his mercy throughout eternity. Mary Magdalene, you know, Hollywood's always trying to make there's a secret marriage between Jesus Christ and Mary Magdalene. And Mary Magdalene was the first person that saw Jesus after the resurrection. You'll find that in Mark 16, verse 9. And she's the one that God, Jesus, cast seven devils out of her. I wonder what she was into. Wicca? Witchcraft? I don't know what she was into, but enough that seven devils came in her body, and the Lord took care of that. And there's going to be no record of that throughout eternity. You see, that's the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Mary was possessed with seven devils prior to salvation, and she's the very first one that saw Jesus after the resurrection. That's an amazing thing about the Lord. The Lord looks at our entire life. When we hit each and every one hit the judgment seat of Christ, he's looking at the big picture, the entire life of an individual. And so the overview of Asa was that he did that which is right. Now, if you're still in chapter 15, the second lesson we get out of this is God records these actions of Asa that generally he followed through. 41 years. He messed up the last two. But God looks at the whole picture, and look what he did in verse 12. If you're discussing with something like this, you know, when I started preaching years ago, I would have never dreamed that someday I would have to preach against transgender movement. Who would have thought that? You know, 30, 40 years ago. Even though it was taking place back then, if you go back in the early 1900s and look at some of them women tennis players, and you're like, well, I don't think this is what it is back in those days. They were shifted. This has been going on for years, but It's been covered up for a long time. And now it's right out in the open because, I dare say, because we're getting close to the Lord's coming. And that's okay. But who would have thought this? But if you get a discussion with somebody about that, if a church actually has to discuss, should we hire so-and-so even though he's a she, I mean, that church is so far gone. I mean, it's not even worth wasting a match to it. Like this Lutheran church up in Chicago where the dude dresses up as a, you know, as some, you know, what do they call them, drag queen and reads, you know, storylines to kids. I mean, what a thing. But if a person wondering about that, all you have to do is show them verse 11. Asa did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, as David did. So David must did the same thing. And then ask him this question. Did Asa do right or wrong? Well, So, okay, let's read the next verse. Are we going to be happy about this? And he removed, he took away the Sodomites out of the land. One-way ticket. One-way ticket. If he'd have put them on a one-way ticket to an abandoned island, it would have been abandoned about 40 years later. Because these dudes or whatever, they cannot reproduce. They must recruit. And if you really hear what these people do say, your hair will stand on end. What they're coming after our children. They openly say these things. Now, Asa was wise there in verse 12. He took away the Sodomites out of the land and removed all the idols that his fathers had made. And then also Maacah, his mother, even her he removed from being queen because she had made an idol in a grove. And Asa destroyed her idol and burned it by the brook of Kidron. But the high places were not removed. Nevertheless, Asa's heart was perfect with the Lord all his days. So can you imagine, if you can imagine the CNN of Judah, oh, the CNN of that day, they would have reported 24/7, Asa is intolerant, he's a homophobic, he's a racist, I mean, he is a xenophobe and all this other phobes that they got going on. I mean, the transgenders would have been interviewed about their worries about the abuse that they're going to face from Asa. I mean, the religious priests of Jupiter getting ready to, as they're taking out his statues of Jupiter out of his little, you know, little faction he's got going on. And he's fearing the narrow-mindedness of Asa. And the environmentalists went out to the grove that the queen had made and strapped themselves to the trees and hugging the trees, you know, as they're going to come down and tear down the grove. And oh, CNN of the day would have been really ripping into Asa. And the high places, too bad he didn't take those things down, because you know what took place in those high places? Child sacrifice. Really perverted stuff going on. And people talk about, you know, that was ancient days. My friend, that's still going on these days. And we've just been sort of kind of sheltered from it. And of course, the media is hiding it because they're complicit to these things. And when the Lord is going to take his time, the Lord, when the sins of America get to the full brim of that cup that he's keeping track of, he's going to take that and pour it right over in this country like he's done many countries in the past. So Asa, he did that which was right there. And then what's some of the behavior that pleased the Lord? If you read down through there, he removed the idols. Because that's an offense to God. People say, what's wrong with an idol? Well, for Israel, that's an offense to God. No more Mary statue up here. No more little St. Christopher's. No St. Franciscan statues. No Buddha statues. Nothing to do with Nike or Pan, the god Pan, or Jupiter or Saturnia. All those things were taken out. Now, under the Old Testament covenant, that was definitely allowed. In the New Testament, if your neighbor's got a statue up, about all you can do is pray against it. Now, you can take them out of your life, and we should. Okay, but we got different orders in this day. And then he restored the worship and service to God. And then he removed these transgenders and sodomites out of the country because it's an offense to society, because you cannot propagate future generations with that that's going on. And that's the reason why he did that. And if you go to 2 Chronicles, we find another thing that he did that was right in the eyes of the Lord. So if we go back and forth, 2 Chronicles 14, down in verse 9, his intelligence came across that a million fighters were coming up from Ethiopia, and they were going to conquer Judah. Now, a million soldiers, that most likely is more than a population in Judah. So the Ethiopians are sending up a million up there. And so what did Asa do in verse 9? And there came out against them Zerah, the Ethiopian, with a host of 1,000, 300 chariots, and came unto Mareshah. Then Asa went out against him, and they set the battle in array in the valley of Zephathath at Mareshah. So you got a million on this side, on this hill. You've got Asa and his army on this side. And then he got the valley in the middle. Okay, and of course, with David and Goliath, that's where Goliath came down, and that's where David, rocked him to sleep. So what did Asa do in this? In verse 11, and Asa cried unto the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee, and in thy name we go against this multitude. O Lord, thou art our God. Let not man prevail against thee. I think George Washington did some of those things. There was a Colonel Whittley, I think it was Whittley in World War I, that got his whole men under him to memorize Psalm 91, the Psalm of Protection, and he didn't lose a man in the battles, World War I. There's a record in the Civil War, World War I and II, where in the days where a man would carry a little New Testament, sometimes in her pocket, and one of those men testified that a bullet hit that New Testament, and the blood and the brown stain from the bullet ended at Psalm 91. Well, they had a New Testament and a Psalms in the back. And there's been a record of that in each of these wars and in these battles. But in this battle, he relied upon the Lord. He relied upon God, and then notice what God did in verse 12. The Lord smote the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah, and Ethiopians fled. Now, it didn't tell us the method God chose. He has several various methods that he likes to choose during battle. In Genesis 1 and in Genesis 6, he just, we'll just drown them out. So he used water on that one. In Sodom, Gomorrah. So let's have a little variety and let's torch them. You got to torch them. That's what we're going to do. And Sodom, and then fire and brimstone came from the sky. Brimstone is sulfur. And I was in the side of Gomorrah. And just as the Bible says, it is nothing but ashes. But those ashes are laid in a certain fashion where you can almost see structures used to be there. And then you'll find out in history, and some of these sites, they're not being advertised to be sites, but God melted certain kingdoms that eventually now look like possibly mountains, where he just melted these kingdoms, and they have little tunnels in there. And so that was a method God chose. In Gomorrah, if you go into this area, now Gomorrah, it's not a national site. I don't think they went to it on an Israel trip. Did you go to Gomorrah? Okay, and so there's nothing but ashes there. And then when you kind of notice what you're looking for, you'll see, and you dig down a little bit, you find a little white sulfur where embedded in the ash, the oxygen was stuffed out, and so then the thing ends up like that instead of burning completely out. I have some of those. If you put a match to it, it turned blue like a blue flame. Maybe God, like one time, he just used hail. Just throwing hailstones down. One time he said, oh, let's try a little different method. Let's send some hornets. They should get the point out of that one. And so he sent the hornets. And then with the Philistines, he said, let's try something a little bit unique with them. Let's try hemorrhoids. That should do. They didn't have a preparation H, you know, in their military bag or anything. And so can you imagine writing that in a war records, you know, why did Philistines lose this battle? Is we got hemorrhoids, you know. And then they actually made little gold nuggets to represent them, you know, and golden mice. I mean, what a thing. I mean, if that's not a sense of humor from God, I mean, that's. And then there's a supernatural ways where God could have done it. I mean, a few supernatural ways is he just brings an earthquake, shakes the ground liquefies to mud, and the people are under the mud, and then they die in that situation. And then if you start traveling around our country, you might see some of these events. I mean, well, you might see some of our courthouses in Jasper and Lake and Porter. You might see that. Why do them people seem to build those things 8 feet below the ground? I dare say we might see an evidence of some liquefaction where God destroyed some things in this area. The Lord does it occasionally here and there. It might have, and I'm kind of thinking this is the way he did it with Jericho, is he used a direct energy weapon. Like was used at 9/11. I mean, if you analyze 9/11, it certainly those buildings didn't fall because of a plane. Because if it was because of a plane, they would have tipped over from fire. It wasn't a controlled demolition, because if that would have happened, it would have been 20 stories worth of rubble. Those buildings just disintegrated into dust. The building, the people, the desk, the glass, it dustified. And there was a hurricane that hovered out in the Atlantic Ocean, and from a straight line from that hurricane right into that building, there were some houses where it just cut off right at the top, and cars just flipped over like that. And when that was all the dust settled, there were 13 or 14 people down in the first floor that looked up and said, where'd the building go? There's a lady that's put a pretty good book together on that, and that would be called a direct energy weapon. And if man got it figured out, don't you know God has it figured out? And I would dare say when those Jews blew on those trumpets and yelled, here came a force and took those walls and dustified those walls, and they just came right in. Now, he told David one time, before you go to battle, he said, when you hear the sound of the going over the mulberry trees, then take off. What is that? The sound of the going. I would dare say our God has some pretty unique ways of taking care of things. Now, other times what he did on one occasion, all he did was he sent down words, thoughts into the minds of an entire army. And when four lepers went out to get some of the food, this entire army had these thoughts. Oh, we can hear chariots coming. And there were no chariots coming. They thought they heard some chariots, and they hightailed it out of town. The Lord's got all sorts of different methods the way he can do things. He can do it by vibrations. Just cause a vibration, and all of a sudden buildings start tilting like the Leaning Tower of Pisa, where it just liquefied one little part and the thing goes like this. Ah, that's enough. He's done that on several occasions. That's not the only building. You find that throughout the world. It's in several locations. And the Lord's got different ways. And in this case, God gave him a great victory. And they did the right thing afterwards. What did they do afterwards? Is they gave God the glory. They couldn't say it was a massive, great military tactic that they did. They got honored God, and you'll see that in 2 Chronicles 15, where they not only honored God for this great victory, they restored They restored to the people a revival amongst their community. In 2 Chronicles 15, there's a Spirit of God came upon Azariah there in verse 1. And in verse 3 it says, "Now for a long season Israel hath been without the true God, without a teaching priest, and without law. So now they're going to restore this. And when they in their trouble did turn unto the Lord God of Israel and sought him, he was found of them. And in those times there was no peace to him that went out, nor to him that came in, but great vexation were upon all the inhabitants of the country. The nation was destroyed of nation, the city of city, for God did vex them all with adversity." God is defending these people. In verse 7, he says, "Be strong, therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be revealed." And when Asa heard the words of prophecy of Oded, the prophet, he took courage, put away the idols, okay, and renewed the altar there in verse 8. He gave God the glory. You see, and you know, the typical bureaucratic thing, though, when you get down to verse 12, they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart, with all their soul. That's a good thing. And then he says that whosoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel should be put to death. Yeah, I don't know about that one. I mean, how do you prove that in court? Get in court, you know, somebody says, "Oh, yeah, I'll serve the Lord God. I'll serve the Lord God." I mean, now, that right there, you know that they really didn't enact that, because in verse 16, he removed his mother from being queen, but he didn't execute her. That's kind of like one of those political rules, you know, it's a law for thee, but not for me. It's like the over 100 congressmen or congress people, whatever you want to call them, are using ivermectin, but they're not telling people about this. I mean, you know, that's the typical thing, how that goes. You know, in the New Testament, the Lord says, "Nah, we don't need to be doing that. We're working on a voluntary basis." In the New Testament, the Lord wants us to use spiritual weapons of prayer and the Word of God to oppose evil. Okay, and so a person should remove these things from our own lives personally, and as parents, we should seek to cleanse our house from unclean spirits and have a good spirit throughout the house, okay? But as far as other people, we're going to have to be praying and teaching the word. Now, if you go to 2 Chronicles 16, here's where Asa messes up. Now, you got to give him credit. For 39 years, this man withstood the political pressure, the spiritual pressure. But the last couple of years, I don't know if it was a weak time in his life, he succumbed to some pretty bad things. But the Lord God, still in his mercy, looked at his entire life. In verse 2 of chapter 16, it says, "Then Asa brought out silver and gold out of the treasures of the house of the Lord and of the king's house, and sent to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, that dwelt at Damascus, saying, 'There is a league between me and thee, as there was between my father and thy father. Behold, I have sent thee silver and gold. Go break thy league with Baasha, king of Israel, that he may depart from me.'" So what's he stole from God to the Jewish temple, and he bought a political favor. I mean, shouldn't done that. Shouldn't done that. I mean, stealing from God to give to a heathen man for a political favor, that's not a good thing. It's not a good thing. You see, he did this in this last couple years of his life, and then he was warned about it in verse 7. You know, the Lord often gives warning. I mean, the Lord could just let him go, and he would have messed it up royal, but he gave him a warning in verse 7. "At that time, Hanani the seer came to Asa, king of Judah, said unto him, 'Because thou hast relied on the king of Syria and not relied upon the Lord thy God, therefore is the host of the king of Assyria escaped out of thine hand.'" And then he throws a question. "Were not the Ethiopians and the Lubims a huge host with very many chariots and horsemen, yet because thou didst rely on the Lord, he delivered them into thine hand. Don't you remember what you did, Pat? Don't you remember that? Forgot about it. I don't know. He threw out a question. That's how you deal with people. You throw them out that question like that. Don't you remember that? And then he said, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro through the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. He said, the Lord's just waiting. He wants to show himself strong. He already showed you this before. He had a million soldiers. He said, I'm packing. And you would have thought at that time, you would have thought he would have remembered, oh, you're right. But it says, herein thou hast done foolishly. Therefore, from henceforth thou shalt have wars. Then Asa was wroth with the seer and put him in prison house. For he was in a rage with him because of the thing. And Asa oppressed some of the people at the same time. I censored a guy. Somebody's got to be censoring stuff because they're trying to hide stuff. You see, the devil has had great kingdoms in the past with amazing technology. And when the Lord come in and wiped it out, the devil's got to kind of hide some of that technology. Plus, he's got to hide the fact that God, you know, kind of whooped his britches. And so this censoring takes place. And Asa here is censoring the man and throwing him in jail. And this is a man that did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, but boy, he's messing up. And then as we keep reading in verse 12, the Lord again is going to try another method to try to get his attention. And Asa, in the 39th year of his reign, was diseased in his feet until his disease was exceeding great. Yet in his disease, he sought not the Lord, but to the physicians. Boy, aren't you glad that he doesn't punish that these days? It wasn't wrong for him to go to the physicians. What was wrong is he didn't pray before it. And now what was the disease he had? Well, what's the rich man's disease? It's going to be gout. When it's in his feet, it's going to be gout because of the acidic nature of his diet. Man, high meat content, high, very acidic. He's going to get that. It's going to settle down in his feet. And that guy suffered 2 years from that. You reap what you sow. 2 years from that. And then he dies, verse 13. But the Lord still said he did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. He looks at the big picture. You see, man's going to focus on that area that we offended them, but God's looking at that big picture. And then he gives the consequences. I mean, that'd be a rough way to go, the way he did die. But he withstood that pressure for a long time. There was 39 years. At the beginning of chapter 16 was 36 years. So the last 5 years, oh, you got a little issue here. But the Lord looked at the big picture. If you would, look in Ephesians chapter 2. One thing that's going to take place throughout eternity is that the Lord is going to reveal his grace. And throughout eternity, when Rahab is mentioned in eternity, it's not going to be Rahab the harlot in eternity. And if somebody grabs a scripture and say to Rahab, what about this? She said, yep, but it's under the blood. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4, it says, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, which hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. That's what we're going to do throughout eternity. Thank God for his grace. Throughout eternity, we're going to thank God for his grace. And Asa is going to be one right there with you. Man, that was pretty gracious of God to say I did that was right in His eyes of the Lord. But boy, them 5 years, last 5 years, oh boy, He said, boy, am I kicking myself. But at least my God's not kicking me. Thank God for His mercy. Okay, let's pray. Lord, I do pray. I thank You for this record, and I pray that that gives comfort and appreciation and learning. Lord, You want us to remain faithful. And there's times that we've all messed up. And Lord, I just pray You'd help us to have the grace towards others as You have grace towards each and every one of us. And as You wrote through Paul, and be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And I thank You for that, Lord. We thank You for Your blessings. In Jesus' holy name I pray. Amen.